We're going to do things a little bit different this afternoon. So we're going to, you have the pleasure and privilege of me talking for a little bit. It's okay. I'm sure that's going to be fun. And there will be a risky activity during the afternoon as well. Completed a full risk assessment and a little bit of a contraption involved in that. So if you're sitting near to the middle of the aisles, you might want to sort of move forward and out of a little bit because we'll be human catapulting somebody down the middle there, and actually fits with what I'm talking about somehow. Don't worry. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Jared. Every microphone I touch seems to stop working, so I don't know. Can you hear me? You hear me at the back? Great, awesome. So today, is that ready, Max? My little presentation thing, dude. No hurry. Today we're looking at, we're continuing to look at Isaiah, and I'm talking about Isaiah 6, and my title is Captivated by the King and Catapulted into Calling. So you get the idea of the catapult, and we'll demonstrate that later on. I've got an impossible job here today, so no pressure. I know that only God can change hearts and actions and behaviors in response to him. I can't do that. So you can walk out of here today having heard all sorts of things that I've said and do completely nothing with it, as I may have done in the past with things when people stand up. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you and highlight things that you need to act upon. So I'm going to pray that he's here, that he's doing that, and that he draws us close to him. Father, thank you for Rita's prayer earlier on. I thank you that you are the Lion and the Lamb, that you are the awesome, amazing, majestic King of Kings, and you're a God that can be trusted. You're faithful. You're true. That, Lord, in the tough times, you're there. In the easy times, you're there. Whether we remember or not, you are there. And, God, we want to just encounter you today, as Isaiah did in this passage. We want to be so captivated by you that our answer is yes, and that we say, what is the question, God? We just want to meet with you. Holy Spirit, will you please reveal more of Jesus, more of the King of Kings to us today? Will you please touch us in our heads, in our hearts, in our very beings today, and the bits that you want to highlight to us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw, Jonathan talked about Isaiah. He's done two talks on them so far. Last time he talked about God's vandalized image. And so we saw that everything's good with God until he involves us and we kind of mess it up a little bit. That represents my life quite well. So I don't know if anyone else has noticed that, but when we get involved sometimes we don't always do what God asks us to do. We saw that it's the year of God's favor. That doesn't mean just a calendar year. It means a season, a time period. And it's a time of grace for all people, not just to one people group. And we saw that Judah had a revelation of who they were without him, basically in a bit of a mess. And Jonathan said also that we're created to be more and that we must see God to be transformed. So if you've got a Bible, you can have a look in Isaiah 6. I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to tell you a story in a different way this afternoon. And it's in Isaiah 6. So if you want to verify the facts of what I'm telling you are correct, please feel free to have a look in Isaiah 6. I'm going to read this. I spent a lot of time praying about this and thinking about this and the best way to do this, and this is what I came up with, okay? I'm going to read you a story. I am Isaiah for the purposes of this story. I have no idea what he looked like. Probably wasn't as handsome as me. But I will be him for today. Hi, I'm Isaiah, son of Amos, and living in the kingdom of Judah. I have a wife and two sons. That would be nice and quiet, wouldn't it? I want to tell you a story today, and my hope is that this story will leave you changed and forever marked, as I have been by this glorious encounter. It all started in the year that our king Uzziah died. We'd been living in relative peace up until this point, but I can tell you now that things are about to get dicey. Soon our kingdom will be turned upside down. Things will be very bad, pear-shaped. They'll go down the drain. One day, as I was sitting on my bed thinking about what would happen next, and next now the king had died, I had a vision. That means I saw something. Up until now, I had been close friends, and inside the royal circle, I knew Uzziah, who was the king. I'm Isaiah, He was Uzziah. I know it's confusing. And the majesty and all the pomp and the glory that surrounded him and his entourage very well. I knew them. Suddenly, in this vision, I was taken to a different place. It was as real as I am standing before you now. I looked up and I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. It was high up, and the atmosphere of authority was 100 times more intense than around King Uzziah. The Lord was wearing a robe. That's like a big dressing gown. And the length of it filled the whole room where we were. The room was bigger than this. It was very regal, very majestic. Above the Lord, I saw angels with 6 wings. They used these to cover their faces, to cover their feet, and with 2 of the wings, they were flying. These were heavenly beings. They were used to being in this place with the King of Kings, glorious in themselves, but not even able to look upon the glory of God, nor did they count themselves worthy enough. They shouted out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." As you might know, when we say a word 3 times in my era, that means that it's a very vital word and really important. The Lord was indeed and is indeed holy. And it was as if at that moment I could sense his holiness and his glory covering the whole earth. At the sound of a voice, the building in which we were standing shook as though a great earthquake was upon us, and smoke filled the place. It was quite frightening. Suddenly I realized that this was the King of Kings. I now also realized that no one has seen his face and lived. I shouted out as if to try and save myself, "Oh no, I feel like I'm about to die because I am so unclean, so sinful, so dirty, and I live among an unclean people. How have I been allowed to see the glory of the Lord?" And that is when everything changed for me. I was captivated by the King, transfixed as I gazed upon him, unable to look away, realizing with great intensity my sin, my worthlessness and nothingness. But as I looked at him, all I saw was a loving face, like the lamb that Rita was talking about before when she prayed. All I felt was the silent, still embrace of his love, such acceptance, such peace, and such love. I was undone. Never would I be the same again, and never would I want to be. One of the angels flew across to me carrying a hot coal from the burning altar in the room. The angel held out the red hot coal with tongs and it touched my lips. I didn't move or jump away or get burned. It was very weird and a very odd moment. But the angel said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Suddenly I felt wave after wave of freedom and lightness wash over me. It was as if everything that I had ever done that was bad was taken away. I felt bad for feeling so good. How could I be free in a moment? How could I be so loved and cherished and cleansed? Before this, we had to make offerings for everything small that we did wrong, pay for and account for our sins if we broke any one of the many laws. But this was different. The glorious King of Kings washed it all away in a moment. And that was when I realized that I would do anything for him, anything to stay in this life of freedom and encountering him. I heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Of course, it was, as you say, in your time, a no-brainer. And I shouted with all I had, "Here I am, send me!" It was like the scene in Finding Nemo when Dory shouts to the shark, "Pick me, pick me!" Or so I hear. If you know that film, thank you. The Lord gave me a message to give to the people. Let me read you part of it. This is the real message he gave me. "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Now, I just want to pause here for a moment. I love the encounter with the King. It was great. And at this point, I'm still captivated by the King. And here's what I'm expecting, right? I'm expecting to be catapulted from this experience out into mission, out into a calling, out to do something amazing and awesome. And I was expecting it to look a little bit like this. Let me just demonstrate. I've primed some volunteers. I've done a dynamic risk assessment. So for those of you that don't know, this is we risk assess it as we go, which means that you need to keep watching and move if he does fly. So yeah, Gordon on that side, Max in the middle, and Ben, if could I borrow you, please, on this side? And this is the human catapult. This is what we used to use anyway in my time. And I haven't tried this or practiced it. Should have done that beforehand. So what we're going to do is we're going to stretch. You go forward a little bit, Ben and Gordon, in that direction. Okay, you come back here like this. And so this is me. This is what I was expecting. I'm having an encounter with the king. I'm energized. I'm full. It's like one of those high energy drinks. And you expect you're going to go out and do something awesome and amazing. And it was going to look a little bit like this. Yeah. You want to try that one more time? Just stretch it a little bit more? Yeah. Should we stretch it a little bit more? Okay, come back. I think we need to just stretch it a little bit more. It wasn't risky or scary enough. Okay, you do it this time. Stretch, 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 stretch. Okay, got it. Oh, my goodness. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, thank you. You can sit down. It's a tenuous link, isn't it? But that's the catapulted into something. Good, I've done that bit. I've told you a story. I'm still telling it. I haven't finished yet. So that's what I thought it would look like. Instead, I got a bum rap, a tough job, and a non-message. Go and tell people that they're not going to hear, that they're not going to understand, and that they're going to be not listening. Great. But what could I do? The king had, and he still is, captivating me, and my life is his. So I'll do anything for him. Off I went with a message, and let me tell you, it wasn't a party in the park, not a cakewalk. And there were times when I had to get right back into that encounter in my head and gaze upon the face of the king just to keep me going day by day. That's the story of Isaiah 6. So, what do we see from the story? Isaiah met face to face with the King of Kings. This was his grace encounter. He met Jesus. He came face to face with him. All of the things in his life that were up until that point preventing him from seeing the king were just washed away, it seems, in a moment. And he had an encounter with God that changed his life forever. God can do that. He can break into our lives. He can, in a moment, captivate us in such a way that changes us forever, so that we want to be his, we want to follow him, we want to listen, we want to say yes. Have we had this? Do we still have those moments now? This is good news, because God chose him even though he wasn't worthy. He cried out. He said, I am not worthy. And we're not, are we? I'm not. Maybe it's just me, but I'm not. We are not. But God chooses anyway. This is great news. If you're here today and you're thinking, I'm not worthy enough and God couldn't ever use or choose me, he does. So these are not rhetorical questions. You're allowed to participate here, okay? So first question, what kept Isaiah bringing the message that God had given him? Because it was not a great message. What do you think kept him bringing that message? Anybody? Not a trick question either. No right or wrong answers. I like that, yep. Yeah. 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 Yeah, brilliant. So we'll see that throughout Isaiah. It's not just a moment. There was a defined moment where he definitely encountered God, but again and again, we see he has these visions, he has these calls, he has these moments, and he's back in and out of the presence of God. What does the story tell us about God? He uses anyone? Anything else? I was thinking of Isaiah and how he was standing there before him. When you come face to face with it, let's just suppose for a minute that he really did come face to face with God and that God is who he says he is. He knew everything about Isaiah. And yet he said to Isaiah, yep, okay, I'm going to choose you. You can go. And not only that, but you're now clean. You can just go out of here completely free of everything that you walked in with. I think that's pretty amazing. And then what do you think that we should do as a result of this? So if we have this encounter, if we have this moment where God, we see God face to face, we meet him, we feel his acceptance, his love, his forgiveness, what should we do? Anyone? Right. Yeah, listen and find out what he's asking us to do and not to do. Great. Were you going to say something, mate?
Be obedient.
No, especially if you've got a message where you've got to tell people you're not going to listen. But yeah, great, thank you. I just want to read you. There's a star on there. I don't know if you can see it. Somewhere in the middle, a star. I just want to read you a quote. I don't know this person, but it was quite a good quote, so I thought I'd put it in. Phil Moore. We have too high a view of ourselves and too low a view of God. Reading Isaiah is like stepping into goal against Manchester United in the FA Cup final. All of our school playground assumptions about how good we are in goal, which I used to be, evaporate in a moment about God, about ourselves, and about what is truly going on in the world. Isaiah wants to free you from the naive self-confidence which you have picked up in the playground of this world. He wants to open your eyes to the Holy One of Israel. He wants to stretch your mind and blow your senses with the reality of God. So in that moment when Isaiah met God, his view might have gone from that to something a bit more expansive like that. He, for the first time, saw Jehovah as king. He saw the God as the king. What does this expansive view of the kingdom look like for us? What does it look like in our personal lives, for Grace Church, for Bromsgrove, and for this nation and the nations beyond? What's our calling? What is our commission? So Isaiah was asked to go and do something and say something. So practically then, to earth this, what does it mean for us? I try to put it simply. We have an expansive but simple call to love the least, the lost, and the last. It's expansive as we have a big God. He's called us to have a heart for the one in front of us and a vision for the many. Many times we've talked about this Isaiah 61 mandate, which is about proclaiming freedom for the captives, which is about seeing the great oaks of righteousness, those the people that were destitute in life and had nothing, raised up to where they can be strong and rooted and grounded in God and all that is in Isaiah 61. So I just wanted to try and apply this a little bit personally and then widen it out as well. We're going to go back into worship fairly soon, because my hope and my desire and my great joy today would be that we encounter God and that we meet him whilst we are worshiping, and also through understanding that actually when we do meet him, he changes everything. So personally, what does it look like? So for me, I've changed this lady's name just in case she ever turns up here. I was out with the boys at a trampoline club and just looking across the room and saw this young lady, call her Lizzie, and I felt God say that she just had some really tough times, but she was going to be okay, and to tell her that she was going to be okay because she was a strong and resilient woman. So when we came around to the trampoline that she was on, I said, I was just looking across the room at you, and I just wanted to say I felt like you were having some really tough times, and it was really hard for you, but it was going to be okay because you're a strong and resilient woman. As I said that, she burst out in tears and put her arms around me and gave me a big hug. And did I tell her about Jesus, and did she fall down and get saved there and then? No. But I do think that she encountered God, and do think that she encountered the love of God and that he was interested in her. She asked me, "What? How did you know that?" And I said, just because I'm a Christian, because I believe in God and he talks to me. I was praying for her during the course of all that week. And as I was praying for her, I got two names that came into my head. I'm just being honest with you here. Mark and Emily were the names that came into my head. So I went back the next week thinking, oh, this is great. I've got some more revelation. These names are going to open the whole thing up. She's going to fall down and worship Jesus and everything will be fantastic and it'll be a great story. And so I went back, and next week I said, I've just been praying for you. How's your week been? She said, oh, it's been much better. Thank you. It's been a great week. I said, oh, I've got these two names whilst I was praying, Mark and Emily. I said, do you know any of them? She said, no. So I just wanted to share that to say that it doesn't always work when you get something, but it's really good to be obedient and to have a go, whether it does or not, because God's in it anyway. So what does it mean for, that's what it means for me in terms of when I encounter God, and then the call and the commission or the being catapulted is telling people about Jesus. What it means for us partly as a family is what we're doing in our home, loving and looking after and helping other people do that with people that have been rescued from trafficking. So helping other people across the nation to do that. What does it mean for you? So I believe that God's got a call for everybody. And that's different daily. For sometimes he wants you to cross the room and speak to this person, or put your arm around that person, or give that person this. Sometimes it's words, sometimes it's actions. So I believe that God's got things for us all to do. Thinking about what it is for you that he's got for you to do. And then also, just to say, if you're doing that out of your own strength, it's not going to keep working very well, because you've got to keep seeing God. You have to keep meeting with God. You have to keep going back to that place where you have that moment of encounter with him, through the Bible, through worship, face to face with the King, so that you say yes and can keep saying yes. In life groups, a couple of examples of things that we're doing. Noam's already mentioned them, Korean pool nights, looking at doing a drop-in in Charford in November. And these are ways that we can share about Jesus, that we can say, this is our King, this is who we've met, and he can come and encounter you and change your life. And there must be, and there are, other things that are going on as well. What are we doing as Grace Church? We do fishing together. So we do events. We do what we had to party events. We do a summer barbecue. We're going to do, hopefully, Easter egg hunt for next year. Christmas party coming up in December the 17th. We're doing Alpha starting in January. And then we're looking at the Beta courses kind of following on from that. So what do you, once you've hopefully met Jesus, what do you do after that? How do you live your life as a Christian? We do serving Sundays, or Saturdays, or both. And these are key to opening doors to meet people in the community, to serve them, to show them practically about the love of God, but also to open up conversations to tell them about Jesus as well. We're looking about and thinking about and praying into houses, obviously what we do in Hope House, but then in Charford and beyond, what can we do to serve those communities? So we are called to go and to share this message of grace, just like Isaiah had an encounter with God, just to go and show this message of grace. But I think it's really helpful if you've first seen the King like he did, met him, come face to face with him, whatever that looks like for you, so that, and not just once, but repeatedly, so that you're ready to go, and so that when he calls for you to be obedient, to do or to not do, that you're also ready. And that's pretty much all I have to say. So we're going to worship God now. I've asked Rita to read Psalm 97 for me. I'd really love us just to adore God now, just to really worship him and lift him up. We can't give him the place that he deserves, but it does say that he's enthroned on our praises. It does say that when we lift him up, that he draws people to him. So we're going to have a time now where we just worship him, and I just want to encourage you to participate in that, because I believe that God wants to meet with us, and he wants to bring to life some of the things that he's spoken to us, or speak new things to us to do for him in obedience. So do you want to come here and read that, or do you want me to come to you? No, okay. Yeah, if you could read us that, that would be great. Thank you.